Sometimes her father had prayed a long time, she remembered, but the old gods had never helped him. Remembering that made her angry. "You should have saved him," she scolded the tree. "He prayed to you all the time. I don't care if you help me or not. I don't think you could, even if you wanted to."
"Gods are not mocked, girl."
The voice startled her. She leapt to her feet and drew her wooden sword. Jake and Hagar stood so still in the darkness that he seemed one of the trees.
"A man comes to hear a name. One and two, and then comes three. A man would have done."
Arya lowered the splintery point towards the ground. "How did you know I was here?"
"A man sees. A man hears. A man knows."
She regarded him suspiciously. Had the guard sent him? "How did you make the dog kill Wheeze? Did you call Rorg and bite her up from hell? Is Jake and Hagar your real name?"
"Some men have many names. Weasel, Ari, Arya."
She backed away from him until she was pressed against the heart tree. "Did Gendry tell?"
"A man knows," he said again. "My Lady of Stark."
Maybe the guards had sent him in answer to her prayers. "I need you to help me get those men out of the dungeons. That Glover and those others, all of them. We have to kill the guards and open the cell somehow."
"A girl forgets," he said quietly. "Two she has had. Three were old. If a guard must die, she needs only speak his name."
"But one guard won't be enough. We need to kill them all to open the cell." Arya bit her lip hard to stop from crying. "I want you to save the Northmen like I saved you."
He looked down at her pitilessly. "Three lives were snatched from a guard. Three lives must be repaid. The guards are not mocked."
His voice was silk and steel. "I never mocked," she thought for a moment. "The name, can I name anyone, and you would kill him?" Jake and Hagar inclined his head.
"A man has said..."
"Anyone?" she repeated. "A man, a woman, a little baby, or Lord Tywin, or the High Septon, or your father?"
"A man's sire is long dead. But did he live, and did you know his name, he would die at your command."
"Swear it," Arya said. "Swear it by the gods."
"By all the gods of the sea and air, and even him of fire, I swear it."
He placed a hand in the mouth of the weirwood.
"By the seven new gods, and the old gods beyond count, I swear it."
"He has sworn. Even if I name the king?"
"Speak the name, and death will come. On the morrow, at the turn of the moon, a year from this day, it will come. A man does not fly like a bird, but one foot moves, and then another. And one day, a man is there, and a king dies."
He knelt beside her, so they were face to face.
"A girl whispers, if she fears to speak aloud. Whisper it now. Is it Joffrey?"
Arya put her lips to his ear.
"It's Jake and Hagar."
Even in the burning barn, with walls of flame towering all around, and him in chains, he had not seemed so distraught as he did now.
"A girl. She makes a jest."
"You swore. The guards heard you swear."
"The guards did hear."
There was a knife in his hand suddenly, its blade thin as her little finger. Whether it was meant for her or him, Arya could not say.
"A girl will weep. A girl will lose her only friend."
"You're not my friend. A friend would help me." She stepped away from him, balanced on the balls of her feet in case he threw the knife. "I'd never kill a friend." Jaqen's smile came and went.
"A girl might name another name then. If a friend did help."
"A girl might," she said. If a friend did help. The knife vanished.
Come.
Now? She had never thought he would act so quickly.
A man hears the whisper of sand in a glass. A man will not sleep until a girl unsays a certain name. Now, evil child.
I'm not an evil child, she thought. I'm a direwolf, and a ghost in Harrenhal. She put her broomstick back in its hiding place and followed him from the Godswood. Despite the hour, Harrenhal stirred with fitful life. Vargo Hote's arrival had thrown off all the routines. Ox carts, oxen, and horses had all vanished from the yard. But the bear cage was still there. It had been hung from the arch span of the bridge that divided the outer and middle wards, suspended on heavy chains a few feet off the ground. A ring of torches bathed the area in light. Some of the boys in the stables were tossing stones to make the bear roar and grumble. Across the ward, light spilled through the door of the barracks hall, accompanied by the clatter of tankards and men calling for more wine. A dozen voices took up a song in a guttural tongue, strange to Arya's ears.
They're drinking and eating before they sleep, she realized. Pink Eye would have sent to wake me, to help with the serving. He'll know I'm not abed.
But likely he was busy pouring for the brave companions and those of Sir Aimery's garrison who had joined them. The noise they were making would be a good distraction.
The hungry guards will feast on blood tonight, if a man would do this thing.
Jakin said,
sweet girl, kind and gentle, unsay one name and say another, and cast this mad dream aside.
I won't.
Just so.
He seemed resigned.
The thing will be done, but a girl must obey. A man has no time for talk.
A girl will obey, Arya said. What should I do?
100 men are hungry. They must be fed. The Lord commands hot broth. A girl must run to the kitchens and tell her pie boy.
Broth, she repeated. Where will you be?
A girl will help make broth and wait in the kitchens until a man comes for her. Go. Run.
Hot Pie was pulling his loaves from the ovens when she burst into the kitchen, but he was no longer alone. They'd woken the cooks to feed Vargo Hote and his bloody mummers. Serving men were carrying off baskets of Hot Pie's bread and tarts. The chief cook was carving cold slices of a ham. Spit boys were turning rabbits, while the pot girls basted them with honey. Women were chopping onions and carrots.
What do you want, Tweezle?
The chief cook asked when he saw her. Broth, she announced. My lord wants broth. He jerked his carving knife at the black iron kettles hung over the flames.
What do you think that is? Though I'd soon as piss in it as serve it to that goat. Can't even let a man have a night's sleep.
He spat.
Well, never you mind. Run back and tell him a kettle can't be hurried.
I'm to wait here until it's done.
Then stay out of the way, or better yet, make yourself of use. Run to the buttery. His goatship will be wanting butter and cheese. Wake up Pyre and tell her she'd best be nimble for once if she wants to keep both of her feet.
She ran as fast as she could. Pyre was awake in the loft, moaning under one of the mummers, but she slipped back into her clothes quick enough when she heard Arya shout. She filled 6 baskets with crocks of butter and big wedges of stinky cheese wrapped in cloth.
Here, help me with these, she told Arya.
I can't, but you'd better hurry, or Vargo Hote will chop off your foot. She darted off before Pyre could grab her. On the way back, she wondered why none of the captives had their hands or feet chopped off. Maybe Vargo Hote was afraid to make Rob angry, though he didn't seem the sort to be afraid of anyone. Hot Pie was stirring the kettles with a long wooden spoon when Arya returned to the kitchens.